What up? I'm Toby Windham, and I'm an actor and a producer, and I'm pushing a blue minivan. This ride is all about the process of the journey, the who, what's, and the whys that have allowed you to get from point A to point B. We gonna ride, we gonna laugh, and we about to be crazy. There's gonna be some knowledge drops, so you better grab them as they fall out. This ride is for the community. I'm picking up all my friends, and we're chatting about the joys, the battles, the fly moments, and the speed bumps on the road to success. So hey, welcome to the blue minivan. Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride. What up, y'all? It's your boy, Toby. I'm in the blue minivan again today, and I got the homie, Austin Antoine. What up, bro? How you doing?
Man, I'm living. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing the same thing, man. Life is dope right now, dog. I'm enjoying this. Let me let the people know who Austin Antoine is. Rapper, actor, writer, storyteller. I think that you are a comedy savant, and I don't think enough people like give credit to this, but Ted Lasso did. A genuinely good dude. Like, that's who I view you as. You said life is good, man. How was 2020? Was 2020 crazy for you?
2020 was, it was unreal. 2020 was, everybody got hit, but like, there was a lot of motion that was happening for me at the beginning of 2020, and then, you know, the world stopped. Yeah. And then I found myself in a creative panic where I thought that I didn't have, I thought that I lost the juice. I thought I lost the ability or something because everything I was making wasn't fulfilling me. So I'd make another thing and I'd push even harder. And then that wasn't doing it. And I'd make another thing and I'd push even harder. And by the end of it, I think I just burned myself out from panic creating. So There was a moment where it was like, all right, if this is part of the process, then this is part of the process of me being burnt out and genuinely allowing myself to rejuvenate and allow myself to like sit and really reflect on what I want, what my goals are, what fuels me, all that stuff. And I developed a routine. Oh man, I'd love to talk with you about this routine too. But I developed a routine called the Creative Cookbook, where once a day, it's like hitting the gym, where rather than me sit down and wait for inspiration to strike, I'd sit down and today I'm just free writing everything that's on my mind and not judging it for 40 minutes. And the next day, I'm putting the beat on and I'm freestyling what's on my mind. And I let the beats play back to back and I don't judge it. I just move and it's not for performance. It's just for me. Then another day I'll work on, like, it's just after doing that a bunch and then finding happiness and consistency with that routine. Then I started to feel the powers come back, the superpowers. Have you ever seen the Disney movie Hercules?
Yeah.
In that movie, there's a moment where Hercules gives up his powers to save his love interest.
Yeah, to Hades, right? The snake god or something like that.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, he doesn't have his strength anymore. His God-given divine strength type of thing. So he's just a regular dude fighting to save a town. And something in him clicks. And he's like, oh no, I don't care what the circumstance is, I'm still going to be Hercules. And then you see literal glow return to his body. I felt like I had my Hercules moment shifting into 2021.
Wow, bro. Like that movie, like I used to sing, I can go the distance all the time. Like we like 2 minutes in and you already got me like ready to cry because that stuff, like it resonates with me. Like stuff like that, like taking that superhuman thing away and then realizing like, no, I still got it. You also said something I'm very interested in is panic create.
Yeah.
Please explain that. Like you just like explain that and explain like, it sounds like that would be bad, but I'm sure a lot of good. I'm sure this, like what you were just explaining came out of that mode, right?
Well, yeah. And it's essentially the same thing as when a new wave of hip hop comes out and then everybody's like, oh snap, I got to be a trap rapper now today and like not give it time or anything. I just need to hurry up and make a trap song. And it's like, that's you're probably missing the mark because you're panicking to jump on a wave rather than just like take the time to go with it. But you do end up learning how you handle crisis, essentially learning what kind of person you are, even a creative crisis. So that's the plus side of it, is figuring out how you function. But I found a lot of, burnout causes. One of the fun things that I did, I would say, is you know how they had all the challenges that popped up during quarantine?
Right, right, right.
I did a thing where I combined all the challenges into one and then made a thing. And it was, it felt good because it was like, all right, I still got something. There's still a spark of it somewhere.
Bro, I remember you, because I was challenging you to stuff. And I remember when you sent it and it was so, this is why I love you. It was so cool the way that you incorporated all of the challenges into one. And this is, man, to go back, like I met you as a rapper in Hollywood, some Hollywood club. Like it was like a below club. It was in a dungeon. And I met you, man. You were at this show. And I was like, it was your rapping skills, but also your ability to tell story on stage that mesmerized me. Talk to me about that.
What I'm drawn to doing naturally is I want to make the whole thing be full circle. I wanted, if you listen to a song of mine, if you listen to a project of mine or a piece of mine, I'm not just showing it because it's like, hey, this is a cool thing that I do for fun. It's like, no, I really, really meticulously like doing this stuff. I like to treat my creative processes the way that people talk about Marvel movies with the little Easter eggs and stuff. That's where the fulfillment comes.
Where does that come from, though? Like, how is it? Is that from childhood? Like, you strike me as a person that was watching a lot of old films and stuff during childhood, or a person that like you grew up and you dissected cartoons. That's what you strike me as.
Yeah, I'm a very big dissector. I didn't actually grow up watching too many old movies, but I'd be the type of person that would watch one movie 100 times. So, man, if you put on The Last Dragon, I can front to back say all the lines in sync with everyone. When you put on Lion King and stuff like that, I watch those movies and somehow re-evoke that same energy I'd got when watching it the first time. And wow. I was like, how can I create that energy?
Where did you grow up?
Well, I'm a military kid. I'm a military brat. So I grew up all around the country. All around the East Coast. Maryland, Alabama.
Right? Yeah. Birmingham. What part of Alabama?
Birmingham.
Okay. What? Man, I bet we like ran into each other. Did we know this? I didn't know this, I don't think.
I knew you were from Alabama and Birmingham. Yeah. I don't think we got to go deep into the conversation, but I was there for like 3 years. Oak Mountain Middle School.
Oh, Oak Mountain. Oh, yeah. I know exactly where you at. Dope. And then where else? Where else?
Oh, yeah. And then, let's see. I was in Georgia for a quick stint and then moved back to Maryland. So all of that. Maryland, Virginia, Alabama, and Maryland again.
What place fed you creatively the most?
Man, I think it's all literally rooted from my family. Like I have such a diverse paletted family. Like, you know, my dad would be listening to disco while getting up and washing the car in the morning. My mom would have some soul funk on while, you know, doing the laundry and stuff. My brother, I walk in and he's bobbing his head to some heavy hip hop. And I walk in my sister's room and she's singing her heart out to TLC. And I just got to walk around and pick out all of that stuff. And then that's just within my household, you know.
Where do you line up? And like your brother, like he was listening to hip hop, like old hip hop? Like, are you like younger or older than him?
I'm the youngest. I would walk in, he'd be listening to Pac, he'd be listening to Biggie. There would be a lot of New York, a lot of East Coast, Upper East Coast stuff. And then when we moved to the South, then my brother's palate shifted. And then that's when we start listening to Pastor Troy. That's when we start listening to 3-6 Mafia. And, you know, I'm out here learning all the Project Pat lyrics and like,
See, I spent all of my time in Alabama and I didn't have anybody older that was introducing me to music, like hip hop and stuff. So my appreciation for like what I think of is like hip hop. It's like stuff that New York was coming out of New York. And it had, to me, it had very weird beats and weird rhythm patterns. But I ain't have nobody that was like, yo, listen to these lyrics. But when you say Pastor Troy, 3-6 Mafia, you say them, Lil Flip, I had all of them, bro. Like I was rocking hard to them. Outkast.
Yeah.
And so I totally vibe with that.
Because what's dope about it too is like, especially like 90s, when you hear New York, you think, you know, maybe Wu-Tang, Biggie, Jay-Z and stuff like that. You don't think of groups like the Lost Boys. You don't think of not even underground acts, but people that didn't have the big shiny names. And I think the same goes for like the crunk movement and the trap movement. Like people didn't get paletted to stuff like that until T.I. came out. So until then, 3-6 Mafia was just this indie group that people, you know, that if you were in the know, then you knew, you know. So I was glad that I got the chance to process it and really build my palette. So when people like T.I. struck gold, it was like, oh man, I want to tip my hat to the side, you know.
How did your style, how did you develop it?
I did have a phase, you know, where I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be like a Dipset rapper, you know, where I wanted to hit them with the ooey gooey, bluey chewy with the newy, like, it was, man, I look back on that stuff when I was, it was like in high school, and I'm like, man, that, thank goodness I matured more and didn't try to accommodate, to ride the wave, essentially. Early on, I wanted to ride the waves, and I wanted to be the thing. Because one day it was wanting to be like Dipset. The other day it was wanting to be like Lupe Fiasco. The other day it was wanting to be like all these people. And eventually it became very clear that all I really wanted was to just like belong in this space. I wanted to be able to communicate as myself in this space. So the space started off as freestyling with homies in the basement. And then that space turned into open mics. And then that space turned into stages. And the more that it grew, the space turned into doing theater and stuff. And the more that it grew, the more it was like, oh, I'm not performing the character of Dipset. I'm not performing the character of Lupe Fiasco. I'm giving the authenticity of Austin on a different platform each time.
Mm. What was the most important part of those tours that you were doing?
I'm very family based. I got those kind of uncles that'll be like, all right, we're going to sing 3-part harmonies and we're not getting out, you know, at the cookout type of thing. And it's like, and we're not stopping until we get it right. And then everybody comes up and tries to sing stuff. And it's like, no, it's this and it's that. And we figure out the singing and then we go right back to playing cards and just chilling and talking. And it's like that energy is a thing that I want to create where you walk into a space and you feel at home, you feel the ability to kick your feet up. And then an amazing experience happens while you're at that level of relaxation. And then you go right back to being able to feel communal again and feel it's not supposed to feel like a show because it shows people are performing at you. That's not the case. I'm coexisting with you at this. I just happen to be getting up to tell a funny story at our hangout. And the funny story turns out to be a 45-minute set of a snippet of my life.
But oh my goodness, you say it so easy. How do you arrive at that's who you are? You know what I'm saying? Like that is like what you just said was a masterclass. You know what I mean? Like you figure this stuff out about yourself. And this is the thing about producing that you got to be with some people and you got to figure out, all right, how do I want to set this up? All of that stuff. How do you arrive there, bro? Like, is it just like it just happened for you?
Yeah, it was a lot of trials and tribulation because my initial gig was, and it wasn't a gig, but I treated it the way that I treat gigs now, was going to a packed house party and being like, I'm going to walk out with phone numbers and 10 new friends on MySpace based on how dope I'm going to freestyle. And the party would get to a quiet point and I'm like, this is it. And I just beat on a table, have somebody beat on a table or something. There's literally a video of, I had a homie like beating on my chest while I was rapping and you could hear my voice reverberate and everybody at the party was like, oh my goodness, that's so wild. And it's like that energy, it's rooted in that. And then it's grown because I went to an arts institute. I went to California Institute of the Arts. And I wasn't quite connecting with how the theater vibe was working. I was in the theater program, but the indie theater vibe, the pop-up moving theater stuff wasn't clicking for me, nor was the traditional Shakespearean stuff. However, whenever I got to do a party or whenever I got to do a thing with Jordan, whenever we got to make an interactive thing, it would always feel right. And that energy is the main thing. And then that turned into me doing literal living room performances a little while after I got into LA and battling and going to New York ciphers and stuff. And just seeing how people can organically have a flash mob types of shows. All that it takes is the talent to draw it in. And then the circle will attract to it like a magnet. Mm. So I moved with that. All of those energies combined mixed with putting my personal experience into it. Because I'm not acting to be anything else. I'm just putting out Austin there and then sharing in the process.
As a rapper and performer, how important, man, were those conversations after the cipher, after the performance?
Those are the best. Especially with the after a performance, that's one thing because, you know, everybody has politeness to offer you. You could even have a terrible show and somebody will be like, yo, your lighting was so fire, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I accept the compliments and stuff genuinely because it takes, you know, if somebody had a genuine connection, then that's dope. But what I'm really about is going, going to those like cypher communities and the rap battle communities, because they'll sit there and then y'all are dissecting each other and you're trying to outdo each other and you're trying to one up each other. And then by the end, after you think that you just made a mortal enemy, you're over there like, yo, when you said that thing about my clothes, bro, that was wild. And yeah, man, when you said that thing about my mom, that was crazy. And I'm like, you would think these are fighting words, but it turns out it's like the appreciation of the art form and the ability is genuinely seen. And yeah. I like those conversations are far more important to me.
Has it ever gotten dangerous in one of the ciphers or something? Like, I've never been to one. Does it ever feel like that?
Not dangerous. Not dangerous, but it's definitely gotten very, very tense. Mm. It got real tense. I battled, man, this was damn near an 8 Mile story. So I'm going to condense it, but it's wild. There's this dude named Bones, and he was literally leaving MCs into turning them into bones, grinding them up and turning them into bones type of thing. It would be wild. I saw him battle, what's it called? He battled all sorts of people. Like, there was one day where he battled two people at once, and it was one of them was the larger guy. It was a big guy. He was heavy. And then another one was a skate guy. He was a skateboard person. And he was like, yo, man, you know what I'm going to do to him? Matter of fact, I'm going to feed you to him. And then I'm coming back. And like, everybody's in the building like, oh, we're like, oh, snap. And it's like, all right, Austin, you got to go up against this guy. And it's like, okay. Like, eventually, I work my way up the ranks like it's Mortal Kombat. I go against one dude, get him. Go against the next dude, get him. And then I'm going against Bones. And they're announcing Bones. And Bones is like, just, he's big old muscular. He looks like Lotto from 8 Mile. Tank top screaming. Yeah. So it's like, all right, what am I going to do? The beat starts. I'm like, what am I going to do? Am I about to get aggressive? Am I about to turn into Austin trying to be Dipset Austin now? Am I about to try to rechannel that 3-6? No, I'm going to be Austin. Okay. And I started off, yo, hey, Bones. How you doing today, Bones? Bones. It's like, I do a thing, and I can see the audience looking like, what is he doing? And then by the time I get into the groove, I'm like dissecting this dude. I'm dissecting his style. I'm dissecting how he's like, oh, word, you think you can intimidate me? Nah, back up. You on my face like you finna date me. I ain't about to sit it. Like, I'm getting him. And then he comes back and he's all aggressive and he's like, he literally puts his knuckles in my face. Everybody, ooh, and that's not against the rules, but you know, it's all right, we're getting there. And puts his knuckles in my face and I'm just standing there on mine, standing on two. And he gets done and they stop the beat and they come back in and they're like, Austin, do you have a rebuttal? I was like, hell yeah. I was like, I was trying to listen to your rap rebuttal, but the only thing I noticed was your ashy knuckles. And it's like, I'll send you over this video. It's raw and it's wild. But the tension went away. And again, right after I ended up winning the battle. I ended up winning the money that I needed to pay rent that month. And then we get done. And he was like, you know what? You all right. You all right. So tension was completely gone. Energy was gone. But in the moment, in that situation, it's like you can meet that energy with that same energy. And then you're just going to see who egos out the most. Or you can find your own approach. And that was mine.
Dog, that's so fly, man. I would love to be a fly on the wall in one of those. This is the question I have. How does summertime come about, bro? Like, I am so excited for this to drop.
So it was wild how the process came about. And man, I got to pick your brain about this process too, because this whole thing, of course, is new to me. I haven't been in the film realm yet, as of yet. So there's a lot of things I can
tell you about to be in it a lot just from seeing the trailer in this. This is about to be your new home, man. Get welcome.
Hey, man, I appreciate I appreciate the warm welcome. But yeah, it was I work with this poetry organization, Get Lit. And what they do is find youth poets from around the Los Angeles area, and now it's expanding throughout the country, but provide them the space to tailor in on their abilities and their skills and puts them literally in commercial positions sometimes. Some people will get like put on TV shows for needs of poets, or they'll get like voiceover commercials. So, and then on top of that, they're just building the self-confidence to, you know, be a youth and speak out publicly and stuff. So I get brought on. Somebody saw me at a battle, and it happened to be one of the teachers of this organization. And she brought me in to talk to the owner of the company and the owner of the organization. And I just talk to her about what I do and what my aspirations are and how much I connect with writing and performing and everything. And she was like, you got to coach these kids. So they brought me on as a poetry coach for their audition poets. So they audition these poets that go places and do stuff and work with these poets, end up connecting with all of them. They're all, you know, you can't have a favorite student type of a thing, but work with them all. Time passes. They all go on to do their things. Carlos Lopez Estrada, the director of Blindspotting and Raya and the Last Dragon, he ended up coming by to see one of the poetry events that had some of the students that I had menteed, that I had coached. And he was blown away by how talented those young people were and was like, man, I gotta make a film around it. Can we get some of the people and get some of the things? And one of the students, for real, I don't know if he remembers the story, but I do. This is a student that when I first came in, he was, you know, not distanced, but it was a young black male, not distanced, but I was like, all right, there's this new guy or whatever. His resume isn't as popping as the other people y'all bring through. His rap sheet isn't as popping. And then by the time we get through the process, it's all shifted. You know, I'm really connecting with these young people.
Yeah.
But he ends up saying that he doesn't want to do, if he was going to do the film, it would have to be with his mentor. So he brought me in because I was just distant from the situation completely. But yeah, he was like, I want to make a scene about how you connected with me and communicated with me and how like you taught me how to rap and freestyle and all this stuff. And it's like, all right, man, we'll try something. So we write a scene and it's just one scene submitted. The scene ends up getting, you know, oh, that's cool. And then maybe your characters can do this. Maybe they'll have one more scene where it rides through. Because it's supposed to just be a day in Los Angeles through a bunch of different perspectives. But it started with just us having one scene and it turned into us being a through line, a major arc in the movie. So,
man, that's huge, bro.
It just, yeah, yeah. And then it's, you know, music, actual music came out of it. I recorded for the soundtrack of the movie. And so not only am I a writer and an actor, but I'm also, the movie ends. And then you hear my voice as the credits are rolling. And
let's go, Austin Antoine, dog. That's fire, bro.
Man, it feels amazing. It feels amazing.
And the
amazing
way that happens, man, is like, bro, I know you've been on this journey, man, for a minute. And I knew when I saw you that it's going to, you know, I was like, this dude's about to catapult. And it's so fly just to hear how it's like you just continuing to do your thing. And life finds you. You know what I'm saying? Wow, bro.
That's the weird part is like I had a large opportunity come up years ago and I panicked, man. I did all of the panicking and I panic created. I panicked, clinched to this opportunity. Things didn't work out around that opportunity. And it was like, man, I guess I'm just not ready for it. And I'm in a similar situation. I'm in a larger situation now because I've grown so much and so many things are moving and I've gotten so comfortable with this process that now it's like I can't even imagine being that panic energy person towards all this beautiful stuff that's coming up. It's just beautiful. And that's the only discomfort is accepting the beauty. Like the only discomfort during a wedding, well, I'm sure there's a lot of discomfort in a wedding, but like the only discomfort of having a wedding with a person that you're in love with is like that day has to end, you know? Mm.
You bring up a really beautiful point, man. I feel like you're ready for this, whatever's happening in your life. I know that you're ready, but it's also that unknown part. And yeah, I'm asking this question, man, how do you, because I know that you do this about yourself, at least I feel this. How do you fight through the knowing that how dope you are, but also not having the notoriety and the success that seemingly you think you should have?
On the real, I think the notoriety part, early on, the notoriety is what I wanted. Early on, you know, put me in the room, put me in the place, and I'm going to do all the stuff and all the things. And now it's the process that I want. It's the love of the process. The fact that I'm genuinely excited. I'm working on my next album right now. And what I'm more excited about than the fact that it could be potentially released through
Don't drop it.
Yeah.
The fact that if you can't, don't drop if you can't, but it could be released by somebody big. Let's go.
Yeah. You know, so despite that situation, my mind is on the fact that it's like, I'm crafting my Section 80. I'm crafting my Ready to Die. I'm crafting my, like, I'm making a classic for me and people that if people have connected with what I've done so far, they're only going to connect way more with this next thing. And I'm going to make another thing that's going to do it. And I'm going to, regardless of how the notoriety comes, I know that the people that know will always know. And they know they're only in for a treat and a bigger treat. Something about that is far more fulfilling than chasing the notoriety.
That's a nugget right there, bro.
Yeah.
Say that one more time so people can hear it. Say that one more time.
I feel like I am going to continue to progress, and I'm going to continue to find fulfillment for myself. And the people that are in the know, the people that have seen, only know it's going to get better. The people that haven't seen it yet, it's okay. My train will continue to be in motion. There's still room, so you can hop on board if you want, but I'm still going to keep moving.
Bro, like, yeah. That speaks to me so much right now, brother.
Yo, okay. So I'm trying to just imagine, like, let's say I go to a party and I go to a party and there's one huge notable person there. There's Diddy. Then Diddy's there. And he is in the roped off section, and you know, he's popping bottles and all that stuff, and he's got his people with him. And I walk into this party, and all I get to do is communicate with people. How dope is it walking in with the mentality of like, I'm not about to walk behind the rope section and kick it with you. I'm about to connect with every person in here, and you're going to be on an island by yourself while I got this whole space with me. I got the people.
The party is where I'm at, right here. That's it.
I don't need a rope.
Dog, I have been my entire, until like maybe 2020, my entire existence has been about taking the rope down. And what I realized is that, why am I trying to touch the rope anyway? When what you just said is what the fuck we need to be doing. I know when I come into a party, I bring a party. You know what I'm saying? And so I ain't even worried about the rope no more. They go take the rope down and come over to where we at, dog.
That's it. That's it. Man, take the rope and kill your ego. Like, let's go. We about to do some real shit. Yeah.
Let's go, bro. You are just giving me life, man. I think we could jump into this freestyle now. How you feeling? Like, I'm feeling ready. I'm going.
Let's do it.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna come on. I'm gonna say Blue Minivan, and I'm gonna move out your way, man. I'm gonna let you have this beat, dog. Oh man. Blue Minivan. Lego, here we go. I got my boy Austin Antoine. The boy is real ill. When he get on the mic, yo, the boy is super trill. And when I say trill, man, I'm talking that Atlanta stuff. When I say trill, man, we doing that banana stuff. Let me go. Let me get off this mic. Cause Austin about to grab it and the shit is got to be hype. Yeah, let me go. Let me get off this mic. I'ma silence myself. Austin, bite.
Alright, I'ma bite like a dog in the park. Matter of fact, this is easy like a dog on the walk. Dog, I'm doing it all from the bottom of hearts, and I can guarantee you soon I'm about to top all the charts. I got Toby over here from Nickelodeon to Disney. Then me, I'ma do it even bigger too. I've been dreaming of this shit since I was in middle school. Now I'm grown up, guess I'm glowing up. You caught up, I'm an atomic bomb the way I'm blowing up. Ain't it funny? Atomic has my first letter at the A-bomb. I can go and black out just like the skin of Akon. Napalm, killing it. Matter of fact, skillet it. I'm Mortal Kombat, finish it. I fell off, but then I got back on. Ooh, I lights, camera, action. I'm Mike Jackson, how I moonwalk across the beat. Tee-hee. Matter of fact, I can laugh on they asses. Tee-hee. You ain't doing nothing, because I'm on point like TP. My connection is 5G. You stuck in 3G. I'm the shit, the feces and the bee's knees. Everybody telling me to stay alive like the Bee Gees. I don't even know if I'm beat no more, but it's all right because I know that I'm in the Blue Minivan tour. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Blue Minivan, that's Austin Antoine.
I actually really want to hear that back.
That was fire, bro. Like, and then you just went on the
PCs, felt, I was
the
channeling
TVs,
that. See, that was one of the channeling things. I was channeling some mixtape Wayne at some point.
Dog, wow, dog, man. I love it, man. Man,
of course,
I appreciate
of course.
You
I can't. We
got to
do it in person sometime.
Dude, we got to have it. Like, I would love to make that happen, man. Thank you, man, for giving me the time, man. I can't wait to see Summertime. And, bro, your glow up is, I've been watching it since 6 years ago, bro. Continue to enjoy it, man. Thrive.
I really appreciate it, Toby. And yeah, man, thank you. As you said, welcome to the party. I've arrived. So I'm going to just keep enjoying it.
Let's go, man. Let's go. Hey. I'm coming to your party.
All right.
Dog.
No ropes.
No ropes. I love it, man.
Of course. Appreciate hey, man. I'm going to catch you.